This is GKW. Welcome to another edition of Good Calmer Wrestling. I'm Gabe Meister from ESPN Milwaukee with the whole band back together this week. Ryan Rowitz, ESPN West Palm, and catch him on ESPN 1000 in Chicago, along with every Sunday morning on Busted Open Radio, Jonathan Hood. All right, boys, a lot of things to dig into. We had a bad main event on Saturday night. We had a pretty good main event on Monday night. The start is Monday night. We had a steel cage match to cap off Monday Night Raw. Seth Rollins, CM Punk, but of course the return of Roman Reigns makes it seem like those rumors are going to be true, that it is going to be a triple threat match between Punk, between Roman, between Seth Rollins at WrestleMania. Is that your night one main event?
Here's a question for you, Gabe.
Okay.
Is Jey Uso versus Gunther the main event on night one?
Right now, I don't think so. And I will also say I don't think this should be, but I also have a hard time imagining Roman Reigns not being in the main event of one of the nights of WrestleMania.
Also, Jey said he didn't care if he's the main event, but you'll be talking about his match after WrestleMania.
Well, you know how the three of us work this, right? There's sometimes where there's a match that might be good, but might be first because something has to start it off. And I know that the crowd's behind Jey Uso, and rightfully so. He gets all of the love. But if they're not going to be the main event of night one, then this match here below is going to be the main event of night one because it's the women, as we talked about, are not hot enough to be in the main event of either night, unfortunately. No shot against Charlotte, no shot against Tiffy Time, nothing against what the three-way dance I think they were going to get for the other women's championship, but those just don't carry the weight of what we're talking about right now. So I think that this might be if Jey and Gunther are not.
So would you still feel that way if it wasn't a three-way on the women's side? If it was Bianca versus Rhea in the main event with the title line, would you believe that could be the main event?
Yes.
I think it could be.
I don't get it.
For the title. Rhea's a champion.
Oh, yeah. Because I don't get either triple threat match, if I'm being completely honest. Like I don't get either triple threat match, whether we're talking about the women's one or this one. Like, Roman versus Rollins is infinitely more interesting to me than sprinkling CM Punk in there. And I know you want to put Punk in a high – you want to put Punk in a very high on-the-card spot because it's his first WrestleMania back with the company since he was injured last year. And he didn't get to participate in actual, you know, be a wrestler. Yes, he had, you know, a hand in Drew, you know, ultimately failing after he won his match and then lost his cash-in. So Punk still had a role at WrestleMania last year, but this is his first Mania in forever as an actual wrestler. And to be a third wheel on Roman versus Rollins, like, doesn't feel like it. I understand it's Roman, it's Rollins, it's CM Punk. It should be big. On paper, it looks big. But the story with where we're at right now, the story is sorely lacking to make me be very invested in this. And it's the same thing with the women's triple threat. Like, I like all three, like, wrestlers. And I'm interested with that, the fact that EO won on Monday Night Raw a couple of weeks ago. But it just kind of also feels like, well, we want to reward you with the WrestleMania spot, but we don't really have anything else for you, so triple threat.
Well, I mean, whatever. You could tell that Triple H still has the Vince McMahon qualities and some of the things in the back of his mind, because we didn't need a title change for LA Knight or for EO Sky, but it became this, anything could happen in the World Wrestling Federation. Goddamn. For no reason, but it happened. So now this becomes a triple threat when ultimately the three of us have talked about for weeks now, not just today, for weeks, the money's in Bianca against Rhea Ripley for the title. So the fans won in this regard because there's so many fans that push for EO Sky. As we see, when she comes out, she gets a pop. There's no doubt. But do we need a three-way for WrestleMania? Probably not.
And no, but they, again, where I think they kind of screwed up is they should have had EO just go win the Elimination Chamber, because when they had, I mean, I can't remember the specific show where they teased EO potentially versus Rhea. But, oh, okay, that'd be interesting. And I think that's kind of where some of this momentum for EO Sky started. And it's not like you wouldn't have anything for Bianca. She would be very much involved in the Jade Cargill, Naomi kind of storyline. Like, she can still be very much involved over there. I don't think you needed to shoehorn her in. I think, again, Rhea versus Bianca, money, because of who they are. You could have done something, I think, really interesting with Rhea versus Io. Putting all three of them together, it's just that the singles matches opportunities in that triple threat. And the same thing with this one, like Punk versus Rollins. Yeah, you don't have to sell me that hard on that. Roman versus Rollins, same thing. Punk versus Roman, like with, you know, Paul Heyman on a stick match. You know, we could do something like that. But find it doesn't quite make as much sense as I think they think it does.
And also, like, there's no feeling, there's no stakes, there's no I really want to see this guy win. Like, the fans are gonna be cheering for all of them. There's nothing on the line. Maybe you could do something where the winner gets a title shot or whatever, but like, it just doesn't feel real and doesn't feel like the real stakes that you want to see ending a WrestleMania.
I'll tell you this. The three of them, as we always say, when it gets in the ring, it's going to be really great.
Yeah.
What they tried to do on Monday night at the Garden was try to heat up the situation of CM Punk and the favor that's owed to him by Paul Heyman, because that makes Roman jealous because he is the tribal chief. Rollins is unhinged. They took the freaking off of WWE.com, by the way. He's just going to be Seth Rollins. Hallelujah, you're going to be a heel. Maybe that means you could just wear regular an outfit instead of wearing your wife's stuff. Maybe,
they also took the big off Bronson Reed. We have to note that. It's very important.
Wait, and we didn't lead the show with that?
Yeah. So next time we see Bronson, we won't know if he's big because he doesn't have it in his name anymore. So
is that because he's kind of gone through, you know, he's been injured. He hasn't been able to work out as much because he's rehabbing. So
did not
he's
shrunk down that.
A little bit. He can't be big Bronson Reed anymore.
Hmm.
So he's coming back 225. That's what I'm saying. Oh, I see. Oh, little Bronson Reed.
Medium Bronson Reed.
Okay, well, that's fine. That's exactly what they are devincing this organization step by step. Because that was all the Vince idea, the freaking and the big, I believe. This matchup here that we're talking about here more than likely is going to be night one, the main event at WrestleMania. And again, the Paul Heyman factor is going to keep this hot because Paul's going to have something to say. That'll help.
Yeah, I mean, Paul does what he does, and that's what it's going to make it interesting. I think if this ends up being night one main events, it says more about everything else going on around it, that there's nothing else that could unseat something like this for the main event of night one. Because when you start thinking about, I mean, the last couple of years since they've decided, I mean, again, you're going back to 2020 when they just, you know, went night one, night two, because we're in the pandemic era. Yeah. So coming out of that, I mean, I feel like the main events that we've had on night one have been worthy of being in that spot. Stone Cold's return. You know, Sammy and KO versus the Usos, very much tied into the bloodline. Last year with The Rock being involved. Like, they had a lot of storytelling and gravitas and push behind them. This has a lot of the star power, but it's missing the story. And again, individual stories, I think, can make sense. To make that all cohesively come together in the next 4 weeks is going to be the interesting part.
Yeah, and to your point about it saying a lot about the other matches, if Jay's winning the world title at Mania, if Tiffany is beating Charlotte, which I'm not holding my breath on, but if that happens, do those matches lose significance if they're not in the main event? Like, Jay winning the title in the middle of the card, did it sort of take away from it?
I would say no, because and we're going to be going through an exercise later that you came up with where we're going to be talking about WrestleMania. Kofi Kingston won his title in the middle part of that card. Okay. And it does not take away from Kofi Mania. Like, it just doesn't. Like, that happened in the middle of that card because they did the women's triple threat as the main event. And Grant, I mean, again, it was just one night of WrestleMania back then. But Kofi Mania is still something that is just seared in my brain and will never go anywhere, even though it was in the middle of the card.
But that's only the 35th greatest WrestleMania match of all time, according to WWE.
Never mind. Don't worry about it. You know, this is going to be a theme from me from now until WrestleMania, till we do our WrestleMania shows. Guys, I really believe that a lot of this is a shell game because of The Rock and his schedule. Like, this whole thing with The Rock, to me, whatever happened on Netflix, the night one of Netflix in Los Angeles, I think that that is a far cry from what they really want to do at WrestleMania. I think that from night one of Netflix to the Royal Rumble to Elimination Chamber, I think a lot of things have changed, and because of The Rock, and The Rock's influence is a shoot. It kind of is in a lot of ways, and because of his schedule. So what we're talking about right here probably was not the plan in January, as Vince used to be able to put all this stuff together almost 6 months mm-hmm. ahead of time. The Rock has so much influence. Like, I'll show up. As a matter of fact, here's what I want. I want Cody to be with me and make him a heel. That kind of craziness, man. That'll be its own documentary, Gabe. Like, at some point, again, we'll get, again, part two of The Rock interfering, putting his beak in there, messing stuff up. Like, this match wasn't planned, but I think The Rock has something to do with it, because we could see CM Punk against Cody Rhodes, but we're not, because I think of one guy.
Well, I think at that point, if Dwayne said tomorrow, like, hey, you know what, I actually have some free time, I could do night one, this is not your main event anymore.
Nope.
And there will be changes if that's the case.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think you're going to have to put a lower third at some point, bro. It's about, is The Rock ruining WWE? or is his influence so much that Triple H can't breathe? Like,
right.
It's a thing, though, because I think a lot of these, I've heard a little bit of this. I've got nothing confirmed, but I've heard a lot of balls in the air, juggling, just trying to figure out, okay, Rock, when you'll be available here? Okay, you'll be okay. So do we do this? And so this triple threat, I think, is a byproduct of it in some ways.
Yeah.
Man, it's just unfortunate. I think the match.
You'll love it. It'll be fine. We'll all love it.
The match will be fine. Yeah. But again, I feel like the storytelling going into it is going to be lacking. And that's going to be the disappointing part, because I think you could have a really good run-up with any combination of the three as you wanted in a singles match. And it just isn't going to live up as a triple threat. Because again, like, it feels like the build-up for this, Roman came back to specifically get revenge on Seth Rollins.
Mm-hmm.
Just like at the Royal Rumble, Rollins specifically went after Roman. And then kind of CM Punk was, he's collateral damage. Mm-hmm. It was the same thing on Monday night. Like, oh, my wise man's in there. Even though his specific purpose was coming out there to kick the crap out of Seth Rollins, now CM Punk just kind of becomes the collateral damage. And he's a bigger star than just being the third wheel of Roman versus Seth.
In terms of the crowd in Vegas that night, they're pulling for Roman. Rollins is the heel, right?
Rollins is the most hated person in that match.
Yes.
Yes.
And the crowd wants Roman to win?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Because the crowd is going to sing Seth Rollins to the ring.
Right.
Yeah.
The crowd is going to put their ones up and acknowledge Roman.
Yes.
They're going to yell it's clobbering time when CM Punk looks at his watch when he comes out. They're going to chant CM Punk at some point. Yeah, I don't know who they actually want to win.
Okay. Well, then I guess along those lines, Rollins eats the pin?
Yes, of course. Yeah. That's why he's in the match.
All right. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, right. Somebody's got to take the fall, brother. Ain't going to be me.
One thing we can all agree on.
Yes. Right. So my moveset is only surpassed by my work rates. Says night one, he likes Punk versus Rollins, career versus title shot, Cody against Cena, Cena wins and Punk wins. Well, for no reason, you burnt through a cage match that we didn't ask for.
Right.
Nothing wrong with it. I love it. I love the history of the cage match and how they did that. I just like, they didn't have to do that just because we had Ospreay on the other channel. You didn't have to do it. But I mean, it's like they did it though. So, I mean, that's a match you could add at WrestleMania.
Yes. And that could have been a Mania main event.
Yes. That's what I'm saying.
You didn't have to hotshot it. I mean, it was fine. You had Fletcher and Ospreay was their own cage match. You didn't have to match it. Like, we'll have our own next day. Well,
guess what? Like, you're not having 46-year-old CM Punk do a Spanish fly off the top of the cage either, man. Like, you're just not. You weren't gonna be able to match it because they had their two young stars doing it, and you've got a guy in his late 30s and a guy in his mid 40s going up against each other in a cage match. Both were very fine. Both were very good.
Sure.
They were just very different.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very different.
You know, so, I mean, and then my moveset says Punk against Cena for the WWE title. Like, I mean, you could have done that, but that's not what The Rock wants.
No.
Because CJ Taylor says that Rock stepping over everyone, that is somewhat of a problem. Yeah.
I have no doubt we'll probably get Punk versus Cena down the line. Mm-hmm. We're going to get it again. I mean, they kind of teased it there. They've teased it a bunch. I mean, in all honesty, Punk has been the best dance partner, I think, for Cena. Some people might say it was Randy Orton, but I think in terms of matches and emotion, Punk Cena provided the best. And I think we get that again sometime on the retirement tour.
This is the biggest flex by someone in management as a shoot since how Vince felt about Daniel Bryan. what you think about that? Like, for real, they said you're too short and you're an indie god and we don't want you as champion. But the Yes Movement just kept moving forward. Daniel Bryan becomes champion. He gets hurt soon after. And they're like, ah, see, told you. See, so that's, I think it's the biggest shoot since then, that where it's like legitimately, this is what, yeah, that's what The Rock wants.
All right, we've got other things we need to dive into in an action-packed GKW. We call it the three count, the other top three stories in the world of professional wrestling. Brian, what's number one?
Well, we saw AEW Revolution this weekend that ended with a big world title match between Cope and Mox, with Moxley winning, Christian cashing in. Met with general, well, thumbs down. But guess what, guys? We're getting it again. In 6 days, AEW Dynamite main event. It's Cope versus Mox, part two, world title street fight. Why is AEW running this back?
I wish I had an answer for you. I don't know what time you sent this text message this morning with this question on it, Brian. I've been thinking about it ever since. And the best that I can come up with is that they had, like, I've seen reports since Sunday saying that, well, they were potentially going to have more people come out. Maybe there was going to be a return or two in there, and they ultimately decided against it. And maybe Tony's having second thoughts, and he's like, oh, I actually want to do that because the main event was so not well-received that he went, oh, I should have done it that way. Let's just go ahead and do it on Wednesday. And that's the best that I can come up with. Okay. If you have a better answer, please tell me, because just about anything's better than that.
I'm just trying to help, as I always do on the program. I'm just trying to help. You know, it's so funny, and we'll review Revolution in a second because we'll talk about our matches of the week. So you go through all of Revolution in Los Angeles, and it was so WCW. You guys remember WCW, where mm-hmm. these cruiserweight matches and some of the tag team matches and TV title, all those matches were better than the main event because the main event usually involved Hogan.
Right. Yeah.
So same thing happened on Sunday where you get banger after banger after banger after banger, quality matches. There's like three or four matches that were A to at least B plus that we saw at Revolution. Then we get to the main event and we saw the equivalent of a Hogan NWO match, yeah, where you had John Moxley against Cope. It's not because those two can't work. It's just because of what we talked about leading up to it. Poor story, where you have John Moxley being called kid by Adam Copeland. I'm like, dude, look, Cope might be older, but Mox is no child. He's no kid. He's not 20 years old. So there was a disconnect from the beginning. And then because of all the hot action and all the hot moves, you get to that matchup and it's like, the slowdown, side headlock, and just like methodical pace. And just, and then the finish sucks. So here's the thing that's different from now than it was back in the Attitude Era. Guys, you remember when Stone Cold Steve Austin, The Rock, and Triple H and all these guys would have like great pay-per-view matches, but then they'd be in the match on Monday Night Raw the next night. You recall this? No matter if they got banged up, no matter if Mick Foley fought the cage, he's at Monday Night Raw the next night.
Well, he had tape on the ribs, so he was good to go. Right. That's all it took.
Here's the difference between that era and now. Now, you're in a banger of a match where you're killing yourself on pay-per-view, but I can't find you on Wednesday. This matchup should have taken place. Street fight.
Yeah.
It should have happened in Fresno on Wednesday. You had time. I mean, because after all of that great news we saw in Los Angeles, you give us this flat Dynamite with Hechicero in the main event.
Right. Yeah.
So what I'm saying is that give us that match on Wednesday, bookended. Like, here's the show. Okay, Cope got screwed, so here's the return on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
Neither one of them spoke on Wednesday in the ring.
I don't think they did. They did. Yeah. They not did the pre-recorded thing where Cope was backstage with Swerve, And then Mox, they had a pre-recorded, you know,
he underestimated Cope was his whole thing.
Yeah.
I need you in Fresno. I want you to sell me on that. If you're not going to wrestle Wednesday, sell me on that, on that, on that matchup. And they, and then neither one were there. So that all, the whole thing is flat. We didn't like the main event. So why do we want to see the return in 2 weeks?
It's baffling. When I saw the graphic last night, I was like, what? Why? Like, why are we doing this?
Because this is clearly a mistake.
Yes. Like, did they run
put the wrong face there?
Right.
Yeah.
Why? And
we talk so much about AEW pay-per-views. Like, even when we have our gripes about storytelling, like, oh, it's okay to deliver at the pay-per-view. Yep. This is the one time it just didn't. And it shouldn't have been the main event Sunday.
It's not fair because the card delivered. The match, the main event. Yeah, the main event. Yeah. I mean, they've had different matches that haven't delivered. Like, this main event did not deliver. Correct. 100% did not. The rest of the card was fantastic. And unfortunately, the main event is kind of what we all feared it was going
to
be.
Right, which is why, like, I was tweeting it that day. Tony and Mariah should have been and deserved to be the main event. Especially if you knew this was how it's going to end. The only creative part about Mox and Cope was I popped a little for Christian going for the pin while getting choked out. I'm like, oh, that might be creative. Nothing happened there either. The only justification to why this is happening again is maybe you bring someone out. Maybe there's some swerve there. But, like, Cope versus Swerve at Dynasty, like, did that get you excited?
Well, they're stretching out the turn of Jay White that's going to happen next Wednesday.
So that's going to happen. So we're going to get White versus Cope. But, like, why?
I understand that either. Like, I mean, Jay White's been a heel this whole time.
Yes.
So it's like he's a babyface, yes, but he is a heel. And so look, I know why they're running it. This is gonna be in Philly. Could you check that? Are they in Philly on Wednesday? Because
they're in Philly for Dynasty.
Oh, for Dynasty.
Yeah. Where's
Dynamite next week?
They're in Vegas Saturday.
Because Fresno was about 3,600 people, Gabe. So yeah.
Omaha, Nebraska.
Omaha getting a title match. Good for Nebraska.
Things never go their way.
Yeah, we don't imagine.
We don't have a digital outlet in Omaha, do we?
I don't believe so.
We don't have a good karma in Omaha. Okay.
Nothing more of.
That's
the Liberty First Credit Union Arena for concerts holds a little under 4,400.
Again, but we don't need that matchup though.
We don't feel available.
So of course it is. It's AEW. of course tickets are still available. Yeah. It's AEW.
I mean, outside of the pay-per-views, like.
Yeah. We could have flown to Los Angeles and got ourselves a seat up there. We could have gone to crypto.
Yeah.
11,000, but we would have snaked in there and got some good choice seats. So I agree with Gabe. I don't know why. I don't have an answer. It doesn't make sense.
Only thing that makes sense is that Tony is upset that it was questioned and he should have gone the one way that's been kind of reported. I think it was Alvarez who had it, where he's like, yeah, I don't know who, but that's just kind of what I've heard, that they had this other plan. It didn't go that way. But look, I guess I will say this about the main event. One positive thing did come out of it. Christian no longer has that thing that he's walking around with. Like, you don't have to worry about that. Like, you got that. You cleared the deck of that. And at this point, I appreciate them trying to clear the deck of the bad decisions they've made. Because, yes, even though Cope, even though Mox were not at Dynamite last night, I am intrigued by all of the people saying who want to go after and have that world championship opportunity. Right. And it's not like it was earlier this year when it was all the old guys going, hey, I got another run in me. No, it's actually people you care about. It's MJF. It's Hangman. Obviously.
Jay White.
Osprey. Like people, Osprey in the middle of the ring. Like, so you've got five people that to me are certainly a part of the future of this company that are going, yeah, I want that championship. And now that makes whatever run up is coming next that much more interesting to me.
But I feel like
you've got those five guys.
We've had this before, and I feel like they dropped the ball. It's either MJF or Joe. It was like the end of the year where you had all these guys, and I think it was MJF, and then they went with the devil storyline, and then Cole gets hurt, and like they just dropped the ball there. So, yes, that's great, but I don't know if Mox is the guy I want them chasing.
Well, you want to get the title off him, don't you?
Yes.
Okay. Well, then somebody's got to get the title off of him. Absolutely. It's got to happen. I would just say that I would have preferred for Mox and Cope to wrestle on Wednesday.
Sure.
That's what I would have preferred, because now from what you had on Dynamite, give us what you had at Revolution, give us a hot Dynamite. And they didn't do that. This is a problem with this company. I was thinking about this driving around today. I said, boy, you know, for a company, their pay-per-views red hot. And if you don't watch Dynamite and Collision, you ain't missing much. You're just like, it's like UFC, just tune in for the pay-per-views. I mean, seriously, because this happened before when they were in England and then they came to Chicago. I'm like, CM Punk, the controversy. Can't wait for Chicago, see what happens. And it just like, first of all, terrible crowd because it was in the suburbs of Chicago. It was off in the States. And then secondly, like, it was like nothing, no real follow-up. And so that's the problem with this company. You have a hot pay-per-view, and on Wednesday, we get Hechicero and Orange Cassidy in the main event. So long, everybody. That's all you give me?
But that's why also, like, this match ending the show, like, when we're talking about matches of the week, I wrote down four matches from Sunday, and I probably could have made a case for more from just that show. But when it ends with this match where it is slow, where it is drawn out, where you don't really care who wins, that's what you remember, as opposed to them just burying it middle of the card and letting everyone else work. Like, it overshadowed a really good pay-per-view and some really good storytelling, and this was the big takeaway from Sunday night.
And I understand wanting to have that championship main event. We've talked about that.
So use the women's championship.
Yes, and that was the easy out.
Yes.
Like, we talked about it, and they ended the men's world championship has not main evented every pay-per-view that they have. It hasn't worked out that way because, I mean, you mentioned going to Chicago right after they were in England. They didn't do it and all these different things. So, like, you already have broken that precedent. So, yeah, you've got a really hot women's world championship storyline that would have made the most sense with, again, would have been a really cool visual to go off the air with the end on the Jumbotron the way it was at the end of that match. Had an opportunity to do something cool, but they passed.
Hey, Camille, you see Megan Bain? That's how you do it.
Wow.
That's how you do it, pal. That's how you want to be a giant and be dominant and don't speak. That's how you do it.
In one night, some of their best women's storytelling in their history. Last night.
She took out everybody.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, yeah. Like, I want to see that now. I want to see her and Tony. I want to see her in Stat. You have the Stat and Will. Like, I was like, all right, job well done.
It's the Camille casting of not speaking and being dominant. Only thing is that Megan Bain, when you see her, whoa, she's dominant from top to bottom. Like, and so just a few moves, just a head turn, pose, and then done. It makes it more mysterious that way. I like it.
Mm-hmm. So I saw someone on Twitter calling her female Thor, and I was like, yeah, that makes sense.
Okay, sure.
Yeah, sure. Cool. What do we got at number two this week, Brian?
All right, multiple reports out this week that have since been refuted by Brian Gerwitz and Dwayne Johnson, essentially. But Dave Meltzer reports the original plan was for John Cena's heel turn to actually take place at WrestleMania. We also learned apparently The Rock thought of Cody turning heel should have been the original story. But when it comes to Cena, what would have been the right time to turn him heel?
I think the right time to turn him heel would be this upcoming Monday at Raw. Because, and we talked about this last week, Brian, you've lost, I mean, it'll pick right back up, but you lost an opportunity to continue a hot storyline by not having anything other than things that have already happened on television. There's been nothing new. There hasn't been anything Rock teasing. Hey, Cena's going to, wait till you hear the explanation from my guy, Cena. Cena cutting, hey, I'm too important. I've got this going on. I can't show up. Just nothing. You have the hottest thing in professional wrestling and God knows how long. Again, First Take is talking about John Cena turning bleeping heel. And there was no follow-up on Raw. There was no follow-up on SmackDown. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Until, oh, hey. And it's even just like a piss-poor like tease of, oh, they're going to be under the same roof. Okay. Are they going to interact at all? Or are they just going to happen to be in both? Are both Cena and Cody Rhodes just going to be in the same building? Going to interact at all? Go face to face in the ring? Are we going to actually have anything? Or they're just going to share the same bleeping roof? I just, Look, I understand The Rock, Cena, they're busy. You're telling me you couldn't get a 60-second promo out of either of them cutting up their on their cell phone, stuff you've done before. And I feel like this is a huge hole. This is a giant hole. So now you've got to have Cody Rhodes go out there twice and cut okay promos, nothing because he's not really advancing the storyline. He just has to be there so at least somebody's there. You had the hottest thing ever. You turned John Cena heel. No explanation 2 weeks later.
It feels like Drew McIntyre filling time until CM Punk got healthy, doesn't it?
Right.
Just go out there and just do whatever and just feel it's stretching. That's what they're doing. Mm-hmm. It's stretching to WrestleMania. And so, yes, they're going to be under the same roof. Unfortunately, this is not going to happen in America. The first time that they may see is going to be in Brussels.
3 o'clock Eastern, Monday on Netflix.
Did you block off the time so you could watch in the office?
Yeah, I can find a room. I'll make it happen.
I just assumed Brian was. I mean, he's Brian's management. Jay Hood. He's got power. He could be hosting a watch party for the office.
Good point. I like where your head's at.
I'll fly down, especially if there's food. You know, I'll be there. But nonetheless, I think that you know, with this, they're going to be under the same roof. So maybe the excitement for me is Cena speaking as a heel. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, it's not in New York. It's in Brussels. You could just tell, like, this is why there's so many plates spinning, like Rock's over here. You know that Cena, I think reportedly he's in Africa. He was filming a movie in Africa. It's like, this is all these part-timers doing other things besides wrestling. They're going to fly into Brussels just to apparently do a promo and not in New York City, unfortunately.
And the wild part is, so I did not watch, I've been on vacation this week. I did not watch Raw live. So, you know, a lot of times I go back and when I download it on my phone to watch on the plane on my flight back from Vegas, I'm like, wait, this is under 2 hours. Did they just like skip part of this? Like, what's going on with Monday Night Raw? Because typically it's been coming in around that 2.5 hour mark, and Raw was considerably shorter because, well, they're the biggest thing they have going, they can't really do anything with.
I knew something was weird about your show. Mr. Irrelevant sitting in that chair. What is Strauf doing there from Madison? Where's Gabe? There's something wrong here.
Every once in a while, take some time off.
I don't understand. Well, no, it's nothing wrong with you taking time. I was confused. Yeah. I'm just like, what is this NXT call-up doing in the main chair? What is Strauf doing there? I knew something was wrong.
You talk about shows being skippable. Like, all of this is happening on Raw, by the way. Like, none of the main event scene is on SmackDown. Like, SmackDown is just Raw recap at this point.
Yes.
Well, okay, don't go that far. Because, I mean, if you want me to give her my flowers now, I'll give her all the flowers right now. Because SmackDown featured one of my matches of the week, featuring Chelsea Green taking on Meechan in a street fight. Chelsea is carrying that show right now. All right, coming out as Chick Foley, like, come on.
But they might forget to book her for Mania. But to your point, I completely agree. Like, if you would have waited for Raw, that would have been the, oh, wow, anything can happen on Raw moment. Imagine all the people going back to Netflix like, wait, John Cena turned heel? Like, I don't think people are doing it as much on Peacock, but Netflix, like, oh, I know how to get to that. And you wouldn't have had that lull. You wouldn't have had any downtime. You could have done much the same. Cody could have ended Elimination Chamber, telling The Rock to F off, and that how the night ends. And you could have saved Cena for a couple weeks.
But Cena's busy.
Yeah, Rock's and busy. Again... But you know, Cena's going to be there for the next 3 weeks on this because they've already before he even turned heel, they announced that he is going to be a part of this European tour. So I feel like we could have just been in this ambiguity of, okay, we've got Cena versus Cody, but Cena can't be there. That's fine. We get it. They'll just tread water. And then you have that hot angle to really kick this thing off in earnest. Yes, it's unfortunate. It would have been in Brussels. But also, again, like, that's going to drive what you want for Netflix. Like, people aren't going to be tuning in to the next, you know, or downloading and subscribing to Peacock because Cena turned heel on Peacock.
Right.
You might get some more people to sign up for Netflix going, oh, maybe I should be paying attention more to this.
Exactly. Like, you know how to find that. Like, Peacock's a pain in the ass to get to half the time anyway. Netflix, everyone's like, oh, I can press a button and it just goes to it. I'm good to go there.
Number of people I saw today on my timeline complaining because Marquette was playing on Peacock only for the biggest Big East tournament. Not great. Not great for Peacock.
No. Nope.
Well, a guy like me finds Wisconsin on demand. That's where I find my that's where I find my Marquette basketball. And Gabe knows it. That's why he knows.
Oh yeah.
I support. So to answer your question directly, I have two times where I thought that Cena could have turned heel. After WrestleMania 22, when he took on Triple H, if you go back and watch that in 2006, Cena got all the boos. It wasn't John Cena sucks. Right. Let's go Cena. He got all the boos. Nobody wanted to see him beat Triple H. 2006 WrestleMania. That's WrestleMania 22. The other one was, well, CM Punk 2011. It's like so when Punk takes the title back and puts it in the refrigerator, I think that's 2011. When he hijacks the championship. Mm-hmm. Like again, Chicago, nobody was rooting for John Cena. I always believe that it's lazy on the part of a promoter. When you have this red hot baby face that also could be a red hot heel, the only way that you turn Cena is if you got a long line of baby faces that's ready to take his spot. And clearly they didn't have enough baby faces to feel comfortable enough to turn Cena. So I just marked down two times during WrestleMania that I thought that Cena could have turned heel. Cena probably wanted to turn heel, but Vince said no.
Well, to your point about seeing Cena on Monday on the mic, what happens if the crowd cheers him? If now all of a sudden he's a big baby face? Well, now the fans are like, oh, yeah, we'll cheer this guy.
Those are people with Cody Rhodes fatigue, and there's a little bit of that in some cities. I don't know about internationally.
Yeah.
I don't know what that's like. Because I don't know if I've seen a wrestling show in Brussels. Have we? I don't think Raw or SmackDown has ever been in Brussels. I don't know what that is. I would imagine nostalgia where there's going to be cause a lot of – because they're watching, so it's a lot of boos for Cena. It might be some cheers for Cena too. I don't know. That's a market I have no knowledge of how the fans react.
Well, and isn't that kind of scary if you're WWE?
Right.
Like, because what if they set the tone and then it kind of becomes, wherever they're at the next Monday, they copy because that's what Brussels was doing. And then they copy, you know, it just kind of starts the snowball effect of, yeah, we can't really predict the reaction that Cena's going to get.
So Chicago, Toronto, Los Angeles, probably LA. There's some markets like that that would just completely flip it and just like give Cena this rousing ovation.
Bah, bah, yes. Bah, bah,
and 100% be behind him. But when Cody comes out, they'd boo him. Like Toronto would definitely do that.
Yep.
Like Chicago would do some of that too.
100% Chicago would.
Just to F with WWE.
It's just so also looking at the schedule. So Scotland next week, March 24th, March 31st, they'll be at London. Cena's advertised for all three. So he has time for the international shows.
Are we going to see Cena in America before WrestleMania? Because we've gotten John Cena in America once this year.
Look at Rush Nitzel.
We got him on Netflix.
He's an American. He should be in America. I love this. I love Rush Nitzel waving the flag, wanting the American to be in America.
Will we I have a beer that America? Can sponsor this segment. Maybe we should give a call to that.
It's like, look at Rush Nitzel. Why isn't the American in America?
Well, I'm just saying. He had enough time to go up to Toronto, you know?
Well,
to go overseas.
Excuse
me. We've gotten seen in America twice this year. We got him on Netflix and we got him at the Rumble.
According to some of these articles I'm looking at, I don't think we do. I think it's these three international shows and then Mania.
Wow.
So that's going to be multiple weeks before Mania that we don't see him.
Not a little Raw, like, you know, going like, are they going to be in Salt Lake somewhere, Denver, on their way to Vegas?
Nothing. Not announced as of now for him.
Okay.
He's announced some SmackDowns after Mania. So he's got that.
SmackDowns?
Well, yeah. That's the show he's supposed to be on.
Well, that's the show he's going to be on when he's the WWE champion.
Oh, I think he could be wherever he wants, I guess. I mean, or TKO, I guess. I mean, you know, that's done too, by the way, this whole thing. We just knew it wasn't going to last.
Well, like, no, but they're going to do another draft. They're doing another draft after Mania.
We don't have to do this again. Please.
No, because no, we've got to do the cycle every time. We have to do this because now that we're in WrestleMania season, all the lines get jumbled. You don't know who's supposed to be on what show. Everybody just kind of shows up wherever they want. So then you have to reset it. After WrestleMania, you have the draft. We pretend to care about it for about 3 months. Then guys just start showing up on whatever show. We look the other way. Then we get to WrestleMania season. We just kind of keep doing the thing over and over and over again.
We just
it's the same
the
cycle every year.
We just went through the portal. We just
oh, yeah, that's right. We added the portal this year.
You do get a Saturday Night's Main Event in May out of Tampa. Who's that?
Are you going?
I'm thinking about it.
Yeah. That's a yes. Going. That's a yes. A
couple of Saturday Night's Main Events are going to be against AEW programming. Are you aware of this?
Oh, I was not.
Against when they're in Texas for the pay-per-view, which I think I'm covering.
Okay.
God.
You volunteered.
No, but you're a boss, so I have to do it. Got to get my ticket.
Brian's upper management.
You're upper management, so you're forcing me to go and take video in front of 18,000 people at Globe Life.
I've got someone else going there. We'll make it work.
Oh, good. So there's and there's another one. I believe it is in May.
Wow. So I'm going to say May 25th, Double or Nothing is a Sunday.
Okay.
Okay. Right. So that's.
But there's a couple of shows.
But All In is a Saturday. So maybe.
So there you have it. See? So they're going against AEW a couple of times here on Saturday Night's Main Events.
And watch those be the Saturday Night Main Events that deliver.
Of course. Of course, just what you want, right? So that's the answer. I got a couple of them, Gabe, Brian, that I think that they could have turned heel. Punk as a heel against CM Punk and against Triple H, but they just didn't pull the trigger.
What do we got at number three this week?
All right, we are in WrestleMania season. So WWE on YouTube has been releasing the 50 best WrestleMania matches of all time. Some of them that have been coming out over the last week or so. Number 35, Bryan versus Kofi. 36, Becky versus Bianca. 37, Taker versus Triple H. 38, Eddie Guerrero versus Kurt Angle. 39, Gunther, Drew, and Sheamus. And number 40 was Roman versus Brock. That's the Rollins cash-in. So, what's an underrated Mania match from the last decade, we'll say?
Whew, got a lot written down here. but I will start with one that was a decade ago. And yes, Rollins ended up stealing the show because of what he did at the end with cashing in. But Orton versus Rollins delivered before that. Like Orton versus Rollins in the middle of that card was spectacular. Probably had one of my favorite RKO endings ever, where Seth goes for the stump, gets flipped up off of his neck, and then he goes for the RKO, which was absolutely fantastic. And I believe they didn't really ever practice that one. They just, you know, Randy was just, yeah, no, we'll figure it out. And they did. It was fantastic. So I would throw that one on there as one that's super underrated, especially because of how that show ended with one of the participants. But Orton versus Rollins was one of my favorite matches on that card before the main event.
I got a few written down as well. I got a couple of deep cuts where I thought it were good matches, underrated matches. How about a Shane McMahon against Braun Strowman, WrestleMania 37? Only because, again, more brutality and physicality on Shane McMahon. I think they busted through the cage.
Yeah.
I believe that's what it was. Just something – I just remember how that was better than I thought it was going to be, especially with Braun Strowman being involved. I thought that was a great match. Another one was, well, of course, Kevin Owens against Sami Zayn, WrestleMania 37. That always delivers. it always delivers. Not enough talk about that. The first time we started seeing high flying in WWE was really with Owen Hart in the Blue Blazer. I didn't think much of Owen at the time. I guess I can admit that to you. At the time, it's like Owen was fine. But I think that as we've gone through time, we understand how much of a high flyer and innovator he was coming out of Canada. I thought his matchup against Mr. Perfect at WrestleMania 5, because of the high flying, it was different than everything else we saw on the card. I thought that stood out.
A couple I had from recent, Rollins also, Gabe, but the KO Rollins match from 36 with no crowd. Like, we know how difficult it was to work out of the PC with no one there, and it didn't feel like Mania. But those two went out there and delivered. KO takes that big bump off the scaffolding or whatever it was that night. I thought that was good. And it's weird because the names involved, but it still sort of set the bar for celebrity wrestlers at the time. The Angle and Ronda versus Hunter and Stephanie.
I had that written down. I had like, that written
was
down.
Unbelievable.
Well, because that was our first introduction to Ronda, and where we saw the. I mean, at that point, it's like, oh, this thing's got some real potential. Of course, yeah. Vince it up, but like that right there was spectacular. Like Triple H selling his ass off for Ronda when they squared up, and she got him in the corner, and then The Rock comes out at the end. Like it was. Yes, it was a big spectacle, but also I feel, A, we got Kurt Angle in a ring at WrestleMania, which was obviously, you know, again, maybe I'll choose to believe that this was his last match and not going up against Baron Corbin.
History.
Yeah, we can do that, right? Yeah. Just erase that Baron Corbin match. But it just, the way that it was presented, the way they had the build up to it, I thought that was really, really good.
And to me, that sort of set the bar for like celebrity wrestlers where it's like, oh, they can actually be good at this. Like, it was her first time, and eventually she became full-time, but, like, to where the Logan Pauls, the Bad Bunnies, things like that, it's like, oh, okay, this is what it's supposed to look like.
That means the training was really solid. Because, and by the way, she already had the physical tools as an athlete, but just how smooth of a debut that was, like, wow. We had to put that on a poll one day, like, the best debuts, you know, including this jerk we saw at Madison Square Garden taking on a comedian.
Are we supposed to know who that was? I am not familiar with his stuff.
Andrew,
I've seen his face before. I have not watched his comedy specials.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? I feel so much better because I thought I was on the outside.
No.
I didn't know who that guy was.
No. I haven't watched again. If I saw his face, I couldn't tell you what his name is, but I could say, oh yeah, I've seen this guy in places.
But it's not one of the Vaude villains. We can confirm that.
That's what I thought too. You got the mustache.
Yeah.
I guess I can't confirm that, Brian. Like I don't know that for sure.
I guess you're right. I saw people on Twitter, they made a big deal about it. I don't know.
That's so good. Cause I thought I was on the out. I'm like, oh, should I know who that guy is? Like, I think the three of us like comedy. I think we enjoy comedy, but we like comedians that are known.
Right.
I just didn't know who that guy was, and just like, why is he a big deal?
I would love
to see because he's got a new show. He's got a show on Netflix that's just out.
No. Everybody has a new show out on Netflix because they introduced everybody. What do you mean?
Right.
The whole front row is introduced every single week of people I don't know. It's crazy.
I want to see a time breakdown of how much time of Raw is spent just introducing people in the crowd.
Oh my God!
Oh.
And every week, I feel like I know 1 out of 10. It's always nice to see Macaulay Culkin.
Do what AEW does. Just ignore him.
Right.
No lower third for Dr. Ken. Wait a minute. What about old girl from Saturday Night Live? She doesn't get any love?
No. And then they give a mic to a celebrity who then, breaks kayfabe. This is not what we're doing here.
That's fantastic. I love AEW. All these celebrities in the front row, like B-list, Leslie Jones. But the point is, like, no single camera. They're like, oh, that's someone we know, but no identification on the bottom. Okay, we keep moving.
Yeah, I had that a couple times during Sunday. I was like, that person looks familiar, but they didn't tell me who it was, so I just moved on.
Yeah.
There he is.
Yeah, could be. Again, very well could be. You could tell me that he was, and I think I'd have to believe you. I'd be forced to believe you based on that picture.
The Vaude villains.
I also threw it on there just because it was so well done, and it main evented night one of the Pandemic Mania. But I put Styles versus Taker on there.
Yes. Sure. Yes. Well deserved. No question about that. Well deserved.
Yeah.
He should have been on there. Also wrote down Seth Rollins against Triple H WrestleMania 33.
In the unsanctioned match.
Mm. Yes, I wrote that down too. What I did not write down is the greatest match ever with
Randy Orton and Edge.
Yeah, I did not write that down. No.
What about, and I know I'm biased towards him, but like the Sammy Johnny Knoxville. Like, it was a crapshoot. It was comedy, but, like, I feel like it delivered.
I feel it delivered. It wasn't going to make my list of my... I mean, again, was I entertained by that match? Yes. Do I think Sammy did an amazing job with that? He absolutely did. But also, it did not make my list of, oh, yeah, great, great matches in WrestleMania history. The way that, like, KO versus Austin did.
But does that go in the underrated KO and Austin?
I mean, probably not, because it's not like an all-time classic. It's just more nostalgia of, I can't believe they actually got Stone Cold to wrestle again.
I don't know why you're listening to this boob.
I'm not sure which one of us.
You know who I'm talking about. You. Because Gabe takes the cheese all the time, like you really give it analysis. Johnny Knoxville on Good Karma Wrestling.
It was entertaining.
What are you doing?
Oh, did you say the cheese thing? They had the mousetrap in the match, right? I get it now.
You know what? That'll be
all. Yeah, he was playing along with the bit.
All right. Nicely done by you.
And now there goes Jay Hood. We've lost Jay Hood for the rest of the show.
All right, that's where we're going.
Just not gonna be, I'm not going to be seen with this nonsense.
Like Sammy versus Gunther is right there for you if you want a Sammy match.
But that was good. We knew that was good. Underrated, under the radar.
It's unbelievable. Okay.
If you put Sami Zayn in anything, you're not going to feel it's underrated.
That is fair. Is he left off Mania, by the way?
Kind of seems like it.
He has no dance partner. That's depressing.
No. Seems like he is completely done.
Yeah.
Trying to think if I've got anything else. Those were the ones, again, going back to Styles Taker, I thought it was just a different way to get Undertaker involved and for him to go out on an incredibly high note versus what we had seen before. It was, again, and honestly, that match, Jay Hood's gone.
He's gone.
That match also, like, indirectly extended the career of Sting. Because if you remember, Sting was initially signed to AEW to kind of do some of those matches, to do some of the cinematic type matches. And then they realized after the first one, like, he could probably go if they just gave him a handful of tag team matches. So Styles versus Taker, I think, is underrated because A, it ends up sending Taker out on a high note, but also then it actually extended the career of another legend that we got to benefit from seeing a little bit more of.
Okay. I had my time off. I'm back now. After that nonsense of Johnny Knoxville bringing the show down with that nonsense, bro. It's
great moments in Mania history.
God almighty.
Sami Zayn taking a pulling Paul to the nuts.
Yeah.
That was a great moment, actually. What do you think of it? Yeah, it's pretty funny, actually. So there's that.
The WWE Hall of Fame class continues to grow. We found out late last week Lex Luger will be inducted into this year's class. We'll join Triple H, Michelle McCool, and the Natural Disasters. Change this year, it will take place at a different venue on Friday, the Fountain Blue Hotel, after SmackDown, not in the same venue like they've done the last couple of years.
I'm hearing 1 a.m. Eastern, by the way.
Yes, I think by the time it starts to be 1 Eastern.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Oh, you ain't watching.
No, that for sure.
No, I ain't making it that late.
Oh, wow.
I'll see what other indie shows are going on, and that'll determine whether I go.
I mean, this is one of the greatest Hall of Fame classes they've put together, right?
I don't know about that now.
No?
I mean, Michelle McCool had a nice career. She wasn't great. She wasn't. And Natural Disasters, that is the U.S. Express of choices. I mean,
I think they're more deserving. They were a big deal.
They were?
From their, like, early WWF, like 90s?
No? That's an acquired taste. I don't know about that. I'm glad that Lex is going. I'm glad he's going in.
I was shocked that he wasn't in already. I just assumed he was.
Well, you know, bad blood there, this whole switching over to Nitro. That Vince didn't allow that. You know, the story is, I think I texted this to you guys, that Linda was the person that held Lex out of the WWE circle. She was more pissed than Vince. They're sitting on the couch during a taped Raw and seeing Lex Luger walk out at the Mall of America and like, wait a minute, is he not under contract? I don't know. Linda was highly pissed. It was like, well, he's never coming back. She stepped in there and said something. Wow. So I think there was a lot of bad blood, but, you know, it's Triple H. He's like, all the stuff that Vince was going through, I want my guys in.
All the bad blood that Vince has had with God knows who else over the years, and they've all gotten in. So I guess that's where
you missed it. I said Linda had a problem with Linda.
Maybe that's why it took this long, because Linda actually has all the power.
Linda said she didn't want him around.
Will we see Sting induct him?
Yeah, he's not under contract in AEW.
You sure?
He is. He's got something. He's got something.
What? Legends deal?
I whatever their equivalent of that would
yeah.
be.
He has a Legends? I didn't know that.
Like, I think deal. Ric Flair also is sort of under an AEW contract.
Correct.
He is?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be perfect, obviously. If Sting could do it, that'd be perfect.
So, hopefully we see that.
And obviously, AEW has had issues with guys showing up for WWE Hall of Fame stuff. So,
make a deal. Make a trade, pal.
Well, we will see a bunch of names come together March 23rd, Thriller TV. Future Stars of Wrestling will hold a special Chris Bay benefit show. Names from TNA, WWE, and AEW all scheduled to appear. RVD, Karrion Kross, Brian Cage, Rich Swann, Johnny TV, Ace Austin, and Trey Miguel, some of the names that will be on that show.
Great.
That's awesome.
This is awesome. Yeah. This is fantastic. Again, impossible for the professional wrestling world to actually ever come fully together and have I get all that. But when you can do it for something like this, it makes sense. And I'm glad everybody is cool with it.
Announced, I believe, yesterday, Swerve versus Kenny King on that show.
Kenny King's kind of been out of the business for a while. I like Kenny.
Yeah.
But that'll work. That'll be a good matchup. I echo what Gabe said, that I'm glad that everyone's coming together. I think Chris can walk now, but yet he's still got a lot of medical bills. Mm-hmm. So I hope the best for him, man, because he's a tremendous talent.
And also, like, that's sort of defying the odds. Like, he was told he wasn't going to walk anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
And to do all that, so it's pretty cool to see. Some new TV programming for you, debuting March 26th on ESPN+, Disney+.
Return of Rampage?
Stephanie's Place.
Oh,
Stephanie McMahon with Omaha Productions. Some episodes will include CM Punk, Cody Rhodes, Rhea Ripley, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Roman Reigns, Pat McAfee, and The Undertaker. Jay Hood's out.
I probably won't be tuning in too much unless I see something after it comes out and there's a lot of reaction on social media saying, oh, you have to watch this. Again, I don't watch Peyton's Places either with all the interviews that he's done. So I don't think that the offshoot is also for me either.
Next.
Some free agency news. Fightful reporting that currently listed on the WWE internal roster. How about friend of the show, Jeff Cobb?
Whoa.
So, okay. in WWE, right? SmackDown, Raw. Okay, so look. We all like Jeff Cobb. That guy is a throwback from a wrestling era gone by. He is fantastic. I hope they do the best they can with Jeff Cobb because he is quite the talent. He's not just a hand. That guy could be a wrecker for your company. He's had all the independent and New Japan experience. I hope that he gets a good run here.
Are you confident that he will, though?
No.
I am not, no.
Okay, good.
No, I know. He's going to fill that Andrade role, unfortunately.
Speaking of which, did you see what we're getting in Brussels next week?
No.
We're getting Penta versus Kaiser again.
No way.
That's unbelievable. That is unbelievable.
This might be No Holds Barred, I think.
Who cares?
Oh, like the movie? It's No Holds Barred. No Holds Barred Christmas. Zeus in the main event. I'm sorry.
Finally, in news and notes, Fightful reporting in AEW, the international and the continental title apparently reports of unifying those two belts in the AEW world.
Hallelujah.
Thank God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Finally. So how do you do that? So do you get Okada versus Omega to
all in?
Yep.
Sure.
We're there.
Yeah.
Trying to get that match.
Sold. Say less.
Yeah. Sure. So maybe Omega can bring it to maybe the first speed instead of the third speed we've been seeing him at. God almighty. He is on vacation. He's in a lawn chair when he wrestles now.
I thought he's still delivered.
Nope. You know better than that. You saw him in New Japan.
Yeah.
This thing here is he's in a lounge. He is just chilling. Man, he took a beating against Brody King, but he is not that guy anymore. He's out there. He's so perplexed that he's got a wrestle. He puts the robe on. He looks around like, I'm working tonight? What is this? I like my vacation. All right, here we go. Here we go. Fake chop, drop kick. All right, and I'll sell a little bit. Roll up. 1, 2, 3.
Oh, you're talking about Okada or Kenny?
Okada.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I agree with you on that one. Yes,
yeah, sorry. Okada. No, not Kenny. Kenny's okay. He's working his way back. You know, he's still solid. No, Okada's just
no. Okada's he's just
Okada looks like he's in semi-retirement.
It really is. But you know, he makes the crowd laugh. So there's that.
All he has to do is say "bitch,"
right?
Everybody goes crazy.
Maybe Kenny gets it out of him. That'd be ideal.
He's going to have to, or Kenny will beat him to death.
I was supposed to say, if Kenny can't get it out of him, then nobody will.
Yeah.
That's it.
All right, what do we got? Matches of the week, a.k.a. our review of Revolution.
The best match I thought on the card in Los Angeles was Toni Storm against Mariah May. And it wasn't even the longest match. It clocked in at 13 minutes, guys. But again, all of this is about story and setting up the story and having vignettes leading into the final match. I don't believe it's going to be her final match, by the way. I know that they want Tony to take on other people, but I think that for now, what a great way to end it. Blood, violence. If the card stopped at match 9 and that was the main event and they said goodnight, everybody, I wouldn't be happy. Because that's a main event match to me.
Mm-hmm. Completely agree.
So I will go second best match of the night, Swerve versus Ricochet.
Oh, man.
Any disagreements there?
No, boy. Woo! Oh, man. Man, that matchup, I swear. I mean, I'm just so happy for Ricochet. We saw him at this white meat babyface in WWE, does all the moves, but the character, the range, right?
Mm-hmm.
Puts the hat on just because he's like, hey, I'm bald, so I'm going to cover it up with the Eagles hat. You know, I love what they have done with him. And again, not even about a championship, even though I think Ricochet is going to take on Omega. I think he'll come out of the bracket.
You don't think Speedball?
No, that's too damn soon. Like, he just got to the company. No, I think that'll be a good matchup, but you're right, Gabe. That matchup just delivered. I'd like to see that again, as a matter of fact.
And also the storytelling in that match where we talked about it last week, where maybe we see a turn from Nana. Every time you're like, all right, here it is. Oh, Nana's going to cost them. Like, they had those teases where they almost were playing with us, and then we just didn't. And it was awesome.
The turn comes on Dynasty.
Oh, in the title match?
Yeah.
But does that mean Mox keeps the title?
Well, you know that. They're trying to stretch this out to Texas. You're going to stretch this out to Dallas. So you take on Ospreay, hopefully.
Ospreay.
Hopefully. Yeah. Hopefully.
That match also, I mean, not surprised. We always say the Ospreay match is in its own category, but like,
yeah,
there are so many ways that Spanish Fly could have gone wrong, and it just didn't because it's Will Ospreay.
So again, it was fantastic. I would say it was number 3 of the night. Like, I don't think it was better than Mariah. I don't think it was better than Swerve and Ricochet. And maybe, again, maybe this was just me, but what's the name of the guy who just joined
Mark,
the former tag team guy?
Mark Davis.
Mark Davis interfering and then also bleeding. Like, okay. I guess.
Yeah.
Like, you just got hit in the face with the cage, and now you're coming back to life, and you got a crimson mask. You're not even in the match.
Yeah.
What are we doing?
He's trying very hard not to be Marty, but hey, we got to move on, Mark.
that's such a bad thing to say, but that's what we called it in wrestling.
Dude, what Brian said is not wrong, though.
It's right, so funny. Like, I just find it hilarious, man. It's just like the whole thing is like the second guy in the tag team is just Marty Jannetty.
And I love them as a tag team. Aussie Open was an amazing tag team.
Yeah.
But then we saw what Kyle Fletcher could do by himself, and it's like, this guy's really good. Yeah.
So that, again, nitpicking in terms of, because Ospreay and Fletcher are fight forever, like, now at this point. But adding Mark Davis and giving him a crimson mask was an interesting decision, to say the least.
It's a hat on a hat on a hat. You don't need three hats. You just need one.
No.
Right? Yeah. you would look ridiculous with two or three hats on. But having Davis bleed, but not just bleed, not just a cut, a gusher.
Yeah.
Like he's been in the match for 30 minutes.
Like, when he got back to the cage entrance, I'm like, oh, what was going on? This man needs a doctor. He doesn't need to get in this match.
Mass transit,
something
man.
Wrong.
Jeez, like, oh man, it's like Jim Cornette, right? He wore a white suit in the old TBS studios.
Yeah.
And Dusty Rhodes, as a producer, says, "Hey, kid, I just want you to give it a little blood. Just get a little blood." And Jim kept hitting it, right? Kept hitting it, and it was a cold studio, so he couldn't get the blood going. So he just kept going, and he was just a mask of blood on TBS in the morning. By the way, hey, enjoy your cereal, kids. Here's Jim Cornette with a white suit and blood. And then Jim comes back and says, hey, Dusty, what'd you think? And Dusty said, I said a little color, kid, a little color. He said, like, that's what Mark Davis did.
Tony Storm also, when she sat up and realized how much blood, like, she seemed annoyed by it. It's like, she's uh-oh. Like,
it just kept dropping, man. Just like, oh, God. Okay, well, here we are. That you could do.
I'd also say, not... like, obviously not in these top three, but Hangman and MJF, good solid match, good storytelling, like, solid opener, like, just delivered from those two. And it's nice to see where those two are going, where they're main eventers.
I wasn't here last week, but what's the GKW rule on that? What's the rule?
Well, MJF was losing, so he's going first.
That's it. Yeah. There you go. That's it. That's the rule. As soon as I saw him come to the curtain, like, oh, Ray Knight. He's leaving. There we go.
Hanger's winning this one, I guess.
Like, I mean, that should be an obvious bet in, like, Bet Online AG. Like,
yeah.
If you know MJF's first, he's going to lose, and he's leaving early. That's what happened. So no, I thought it was all good. I had a disconnect with two things. One, we didn't need the comedy match with the Outrunners against the Hurt Syndicate. Hurt Syndicate comes in as they're baby faces, by the way. I don't know if anyone knows that. They're baby faces. That was not the plan. but they're baby faces, right? They take on two other baby faces from 1987 and the Outrunners. Outrunners seemed like they were overwhelmed on some spots. They got lost a little bit. And then the whole thing with Momo. Momo did not deserve that opportunity, just like the woman does not deserve the opportunity on Wednesday against Mercedes Moné.
Oh, Billy Starks?
What is that?
Yeah.
Why is she cutting the line?
She was
bumped into her in the back 2 weeks ago.
No, she was
kind of overwhelmed by the whole interview. Like, she didn't seem – Billy did not seem ready for that interaction on Wednesday, which was what are we doing here?
It was weird. So I'll just say this. I'll call it now. First of all, Billy Stark should not be in this matchup against Mercedes. Okay. If that means that we're going to see Athena eventually, then I'm good with it. Because because she is the teacher or the leader of Billy Stark's. If that means we're going to get Athena and Mercedes at some point, let's go. But if not, it's like how is she cutting the line from all these other women that's in the back?
I mean, if that's what it takes to get us to get Athena on actual television, boy, man. And if Mercedes and Athena doesn't main event whatever they're doing, why do we exist? Why does
you put her on. I'm the only one in the world watching Athena every week.
correct.
And I know that she's been killing it for, I don't know, a year and a half, and you can't put her on the main roster. So if that's a match that we're going to see, Athena's going over. She's taking every bit of those indie titles that's around the waist of Mercedes.
We had her on a year ago, and she talked about, like, oh, yeah, we're getting close. It's like, what does that mean? I think it was Mania Weekend last year. It was before that. She had her special gear and things like that.
That's right.
And she's still on her club only.
She was lied to.
Yeah.
So
another thing I'll throw out here for matches of the week. NXT was really good on Tuesday.
Okay. I got to watch it. I heard my dream match was on there. Was my dream match on there?
It was a very good match. Obafemi versus Moose.
Okay.
Your boy Oba got an Undertaker rub in the back, a little interaction with him. So, like, that was really solid. Stephanie Vaccour versus Julia. Not sure why we got it on free TV and why they rushed it already, but a damn good match there. Javon Evans and Your boy Ethan Page in a street fight was really good. Mm-hmm. The Hardys or Sfraxium, like, that was a pay-per-view quality show from the theater at Madison Square Garden, which is
that's right.
I guess.
We get boxing there. We don't get enough wrestling in that venue with the lights going across there.
Yeah.
It's kind of iconic. Mm-hmm. It's very strange. So I got to go back and watch that because I heard that was a really tremendous card for NXT. And it was. And by the way, it was not preempted this week.
No.
like it was last week here in Chicago.
Yeah, it was only, I think, Chicago and New York didn't get to see 2 weeks ago.
You know about that game?
I did. Yeah, they got preempted. Yeah, of course. I saw your tweet about it. Like, wait, what's going on?
So
on my television, I'm wrestling. What is this? I mean, I know this guy's in the Hall of Fame, but
that's true.
Not what I was expecting.
Yeah. I turn on, see it. It's just to tune in because I don't watch it live all the time. Let me tune in. Oh, Cuomo's on. What's this all about? It's like, Cuomo, what is thoughts? I'm like, where's the wrestling? And I go to the CW app, not there. I'm like, okay, that's bad. It should be at least on the CW app. So.
Yeah, you got to figure out a way to put that on the app.
Didn't like that.
That's reserved for Live Golf.
And yeah, well, not anymore. Yeah. And again, just a shout out again to Chelsea Meachin. Chelsea doing a coast to coast. Fantastic. As she continues her great work.
New Day versus Rey and Dragon Lee. I know we see it every week now, but like, I enjoyed that. And the, was it Muchos Gracias?
Yes.
And that luchador, that was good.
From the magical mystery luchador. I have no idea who that could have possibly been.
You're in South Florida. You got to be better than that.
I know,
You
got to
be better than that. And, of course, we all enjoyed the cage match with Punk in his match.
Oh, yes.
We all enjoyed that. That was great.
Hey, check us out. YouTube.com/EchoKarmaWrestling. Any past interviews we've done. We're going to have a lot of special content coming up around WrestleMania with it being WrestleMania season. So make sure you check out our YouTube page for all that exclusive content. And, you know, check it out on Thursdays. Check it out on Thursdays, 7 p.m. Eastern, right here as we talk about everything going on in the world of professional wrestling. We'll do it again next week right here on GKW.